This is the radio show helping business owners make more money and go home earlier to spend more time with their families. Welcome to Business Profits Radio with your host, Robert Scrope. Business Profits Radio is the small business owner's resource for marketing, sales, operations, and profitability. Robert Scrope uses his extensive business contacts and practical business experience to identify the business people who are creating exceptional profits. Robert's guests are business owners just like you who are building successful companies. Robert gets them to share their best strategies and tactics so you can apply their knowledge in your business. Robert is a business owner, certified public accountant, published author, employer, husband, and father. He understands the pressures business owners face and brings answers and advice to you. You can receive email updates about future shows and listen to Business Profits University online by visiting businessprofitsradio.com. That's businessprofitsradio.com. Now, here's your host for Business Profits Radio, Robert Scrope.
Today, we are talking about how to get more customers. That's what we're here about on Business Profits Radio, are shortcuts and easy ways and some of the hard ways that you can get new customers for your business. This is Business Profits Radio. I'm your host, Robert Scrope. My guest today is Tom Mangini. He is the CEO of the Sales Advisory Board, and he is a career sales trainer and a sales manager. So you're going to get a lot of real neat insights from Tom about what you know, things that he's used as a leader of a big corporation leading the sales process, and things that you can apply within your own business to generate more customers. And I also have quite a few listener questions that folks have submitted or given me comments that I'm going to pose to Tom and see if we can get some answers on from the best of the best in sales and sales management today on Business Profits Radio for you. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about unintended consequences on today's program and how it's actually going to get a lot more difficult to succeed in business in coming years, and what you need to do today in order to prepare for the coming frustration, because it's out there. Just like a train is on the track, you can kind of you hear it woo-woo way out there in the distance, and you may not be able to see it, but it's coming. And there's been a lot of unintended consequences already. We're going to talk about some of those and then also what it means for you in the near future. I want to thank you for being a loyal listener of Business Profits Radio. Each week, over 25,000 people turn to Business Profits Radio as their source of information on how they can make more money and spend more time with their families. So thank you for being a loyal listener of Business Profits Radio. And if you have any comments or any thoughts, feel free to go to my blog at robertscrobe.com. Hey, also, if you what do you think of the show? You know, on like a scale of 1 to 5, would you give it a 1 star or 5 stars? Hey, let me know. Go to iTunes.com or pull up iTunes on your computer. Search for Business Profits Radio, and let me know on a scale of 1 to 5 stars what you think of Business Profits Radio. Hey, if you do that, and then you go to my blog at robertscrobe.com, post a comment on any of the posts. I know there's no email address, and I know there's no form, but just go to any of the entries there and post a comment and say, hey, Robert, I need this, or hey, Robert, I've got this question, or hey, Robert, I just commented and gave your book 5 stars or 4 stars or 1 star. I don't mind. I don't care. Just rate it on iTunes. Let me know what you think. Now, if you rate my show on iTunes and then come to my blog and let me know through a comment, I will contact you through that comment and we'll send you a free copy of my book, Profitable Business Truths, The 16 Essential Secrets Business Owners Follow to Succeed and Grow Their Business so that they have more money and the time to enjoy it. So comment on my blog. Let me know about what you think of the show on iTunes, and I'll get a copy of that book out to you. Now, this whole topic of sales and sales training really came as a rude awakening to me. And I I never thought that I was going to be in sales. I figured, you know, I was going through the accounting route and I was going to become a CPA and actually have become a CPA. I don't practice, but I certainly went through that program thinking, you know, I can sit in a back office somewhere. I could do some paperwork and I don't ever have to interact with anybody. Well, it turns out that that's not how life is, and it's certainly not how business is. And in business, whether you're a CPA or a plumber or even a writer, if you think of writer, that's a very solitary thing. Somebody is just there with the keyboard and they're writing every day. Well, the fact is they still have to sell books. And if they don't sell books, then they're not going to be a writer for very long. So sales is an essential part of any profession. And I actually got introduced to sales many years ago when I became an Amway distributor. And I thought, well, yeah, this is, you know, they showed me the plan and how you get six people and those get six people and then those people get six people. And suddenly you have, 8 million people that are all selling products and you're making money. And that seemed like an easy enough thing. And so I went ahead and became a distributor. And I actually, you know, had some measure of success and brought in quite a few people. And also I was one of the leading salespeople of moving products through personal sales. And but what I found is I needed some profound sales skills that I had never acquired up until then. But what it allowed me to do is really hone and practice those skills by watching body language, by watching what people's reactions were when I said something to them. And that face-to-face sales skill pays me back in everything that I do today. And, you know, so as if you've never had face-to-face sales experience, you know what? You're probably a little bit handicapped in business. And it might be something you want to try out. Maybe you want to be a distributor of something or do house parties or somehow get in a position where it's your responsibility to make a sale and learn how to recommend products and how to get into the door and learn how to follow up. Because in many ways, all of that just comes from repetition. It's kind of like shooting a free throw in basketball. We can tell you how to shoot a free throw, how to hold your hands, how to stand, what to do as you release the ball, where to aim. But really, you don't get any skill in shooting free throws in basketball until you get some practice. And that's really what you're going to need. So at the end of this show, you think about how you can practice these skills. Maybe it's in your everyday life. Maybe it's in by asking for a raise from your boss. Maybe it's in asking your kids to do something or get them to clean up the room. Or maybe something that you've been looking to try to discuss with your spouse. Or joining some distributorship where you get some direct sales experience, face-to-face selling. That's really where you're going to hone your skills, and you're going to go from being an amateur to being a professional, and it all comes through practice, and practice is how you get better. So coming up on today's program, we have Tom Mangini from the Sales Advisory Board. He has a tremendous amount of sales experience, and not only that, he has been a sales manager for a company, a very large publicly traded company for a number of years, and is going to be sharing his insight in how to motivate sales teams as well as how to sell yourself. All that and more coming up after this brief message. Hi, this is Robert Scrobe, your host of Business Profits Radio. I grew up in business in the offline world. I watched as everyone was all excited about the internet and online marketing. At that time, I mostly saw using the internet as some sort of fad. A lot of people were excited about online marketing, but direct mail, telephone, and fax were still more effective at generating new customers. In the last few years, I've seen the internet blossom into a business-building machine. I've created websites that are just like ATM machines, except better. These machines put money into my account every day automatically. That's why I co-authored the book with Bob Rigneras about internet marketing. It's titled The Official Get Rich Guide: Information Marketing on the Internet. This book outlines the exact steps I use to create websites that generate money for me. I'm not a web programmer. I have a web guy who does all the techie work. That's what we want to teach you in my book, The Official Get Rich Guide to Information Marketing on the Internet, how you can create a website, understand what you need to know to prepare the information for a web designer, evaluate what he or she creates, and then give him instructions on how to finalize it for the web. For information about the book, including a video of me by my pool, a webinar tour of several websites, preview chapters, and several success stories, visit the book website at www.internetinformationmarketing.com. That's internetinformationmarketing.com. For years, I looked at claims about the internet with skepticism. I tested lots of things but got better results from offline marketing. But in the last 3 years, the tide has really changed. Now there are a lot of people on the web and millions are buying things. There isn't any reason why they can't be buying from you. To get the details of creating a website to get them to buy from you, visit internetinformationmarketing.com. Here on Business Profits Radio, we often talk about sales being the most important business function and how you get all your money from new customer sales. And if you don't have new customers, then your business isn't growing. But very often, as business owners grow, they get frustrated because they're not able to make all the sales themselves. They need to bring in salespeople, and they need to create a team to generate customers. And you know, transitioning from generating all the sales yourself into a team brings with it a whole bunch of challenges, and we have brought in the expert today on dealing with those challenges, Tom Mangini, who owns the Sales Advisory Board. Welcome, Tom, to Business Profits Radio.
Happy to be with you.
Now, as business owners try to bring on people to take over that sales function, what are some of the challenges that they do? What are some of the mistakes that you see them make?
Well, Robert, one of the biggest mistakes I see, and we'll start with the hiring phase, because until you hire a salesperson, you can't generate revenue or at least do it efficiently. They tend to want to bring in people with specific industry experience or industry knowledge. And I think in a perfect world, that's great. But I think a lot of times they fail to see that what makes someone successful in sales are often those intangibles that you sometimes can't teach.
Well, it seems like, you know, if you want to sell plumbing supplies to plumbers, you'd probably need to have somebody who's knowledgeable in what all those different parts are. You mean that that's not necessary?
I don't believe it is necessary, because those are things that you can teach. Mm-hmm. What you can't teach is an individual's background of having a proven track record of success. Things like work ethic, things like being self-motivated, disciplined, going above and beyond to get the job done.
But how are you supposed to be able to tell that from an interview?
Well, that's really the key, and that's one of the things that over the years that if I had a perfect answer to it, I'd probably be a multimillionaire by now.
Unfortunately,
I don't. But one thing I would say is that you have to, when you sit down and talk to an individual salesperson or candidate, what you have to look at is, can you go back into their resume and do they have a quantifiable, proven track record of success?
Now,
and that's something that my philosophy is that you can't necessarily teach.
And Tom, I guess by success, you mean by success in sales, because they might have been working at the grocery store as a clerk, that doesn't necessarily mean that they can sell or that they can sell here.
Absolutely. In fact, some of the best salespeople that I have personally ever hired and trained were people that had no industry experience, because I found that there were times where I hired people that had 15, 20 years experience, but they didn't have the motivation to go out and pick up the phone and call a prospect to set an appointment to go out and sell something.
Yeah, it's kind of like there's the sales training thing, wisdom that, you know, can they sell, will they sell, or will they sell here? and you've got to really analyze that. How do you go about trying to analyze? You look at the resume. What are some things that you do to try to determine whether somebody's going to sell for you?
Well, one of the things I look at is I try to get a feel for, and this is one question that I ask in particular, is what's the most money you've ever made?
Mm.
That answer in and of itself tells me a lot. If I have a sales candidate sitting in front of me and they tell me the most money that they've ever made is $80,000, mm-hmm. that's not someone I'm going to be jumping up and down to hire.
Wow.
And it's really interesting, too, because you'd be surprised at how a lot of times when you ask that question, you'll get a true answer.
Wow.
I'm looking for people that have made six figures, high six figures, mm-hmm. that they have a progressive track record of, you know, maybe starting out making under six figures and then going to $120,000, then moving up to $175,000, and on and on and on. What that tells me is they've been successful everywhere they've gone. They're continually making more money with each position. I'll take that over individual industry knowledge or experience any day of the week.
Because it shows that they're motivated and want an opportunity to be able to do that. And now all you need to do is present them with a kind of a revenue program that allows them to make the money they want, get out of their way, and let them sell. Because, you know, generating new customers is what we're talking about here on Business Profits Radio. My guest is Tom Mangini with the Sales Advisory Board. I want you to check out his website. I'm going to repeat it. So if you missed this, go ahead and get a pen and piece of paper, and I'll give you the website address again. But it's www.thesalesadvisoryboard.com. And when you go to that website, you're going to find a lot of free sales leadership and training materials that you can use within your business or for yourself if you are starting out as a salesperson. Now, in your Tom, I know in your business you do a lot of training, you do a lot of management of the sales process for businesses. Are with the sales managers that you're working with, the business owners that you're working with, and the salespeople that you work with, are you seeing a change in this economy? Are folks really as reluctant to buy as we often hear about?
Yeah, I'm definitely seeing that out there. And I think what happens for a small business owner is they look at their individual sales organization, however small or large it may be. A lot of times these salespeople are used to what I call the low-hanging fruit, where mm-hmm. the economy's thriving and sales are easy to come by. In a volatile economy, though, things change. Buying habits change. Companies are now looking to reduce costs. And a lot of times business owners, and when I refer to business owners, I'm talking about companies that are startups to, say, 50 employees, they're now challenged with, okay, I don't necessarily have the time, money, expertise, personnel, or resources mm-hmm. to be able to go out and compete in a bad economy. How do I get my sales engine firing on all eight cylinders? And the easiest answer I can give you is the salespeople are going to have to work twice as hard and twice as smart.
And that's really one of the things that I've found is I remember when one of the first projects I had when I started work was creating a follow-up sales sequence that at once we made a presentation to a prospective client, it was a set of follow-up mailings. And so we accumulated a bunch of articles that were relevant and interesting to read that gave us an excuse to communicate. And we also, you know, and also maybe articles that featured our company in the newspaper. And then we would, you know, maybe it was articles that other people had written that had been published, but that kind of went to some expertise that we said we had and then some other things, so that it was about 15 different things that we could deliver over the next 15 weeks after we had met with a client that just gave us an excuse to communicate. And over the years, we haven't had to do that at all. And a lot of those follow-up sequences have fallen by the wayside. Because if we showed up and gave a presentation, we were able to get a new client a few years ago. And it's just not like that anymore. You seeing that a lot with other businesses?
Absolutely. And I think you hit the nail on the head. I think what you have to do now is you have to be more strategic in terms of how you go out to bring on new clients. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I talk to small business owners about with their sales teams are for them to look at individual client companies, and now you have to go into more of what I call a research mode. The more, you probably heard the saying, knowledge is power. The more knowledge that you have about an individual company that you're trying to bring on as a client, as well as that individual decision maker that is responsible for making the decision to do business with you, the more knowledge that you have about that individual, the more successful you're going to be as far as bringing them on as a new client.
Now, what do you suggest that a salesperson does in order to research that? Because there's, you know, imagine that you can find that person on Facebook, or you can find that person in, you know, but what do you suggest that a salesperson does in order to get more information like that?
Well, two things. I think subscribe to local periodicals. For example, I live in San Francisco, so for me it would be the San Francisco Business Times, or to get on the internet. Let's say you want to bring on that that famous company called Acme Incorporated. And you go on and you do a Google search for Acme Incorporated. I think the more information and knowledge you can get on Acme Incorporated, and let's say the president's Joe Smith, and you do a Google search on Joe Smith, and the more knowledge and information that you can get on Joe Smith, when you start to reach out, especially if you do it on a consistent basis or utilizing a process, as you alluded to earlier, you now turn that cold call into a warm call, because now you're calling Joe Smith and you're talking to Joe Smith, or you're sending Joe Smith emails, and you are referencing things that you've learned about the company or about him. And he looks at that and says, wow, this person knows my business. This person knows me and what I've been doing. They sound like someone that's got some credibility that I need to talk to, as opposed to someone just picking up the phone and asking Joe, hey, what does your company do? Well, when you lead in with what your company does, you just lost credibility.
Well, and also I think in your research of Acme Incorporated, you'll discover that their largest customer is Wile E. Coyote from the Roadrunner and Coyote cartoons.
Absolutely.
Remember how Wile E. always came back with some box from Acme Incorporated?
Exactly.
So you can share that you also know who their biggest customer is. So we're on Business Profits Radio, and I'm talking with Tom Mangini, and he is with the Sales Advisory Board. Now, what exactly does the Sales Advisory Board do, Tom?
Well, I guess in a nutshell, the easiest way to explain it is that we work with business professionals ranging from, say, the entry-level salesperson all the way to the CEO, as well as the venture capital community. And
so what do you do for them?
I'm sorry?
What do you do for them?
Well, our business model is threefold. We provide a sales management outsourcing solution for small businesses. Often small business owners aren't large enough or have certain financial constraints where they become the default sales manager. Often they come from a technical or operations or financial background. So we provide a service where they can outsource the sales management function to us for pennies on the dollar. That's one thing that we do.
So for a business owner who's struggling, trying to motivate employees, trying to get them to go out and sell, they can turn that aggravation over to you, and you will help that sales team become more productive and generate customers for that business owner.
Absolutely, because if you think about it, Robert, small business owners are wearing multiple hats, and they're fighting fires on a daily basis. And if they come from, let's say, an operational background, they don't necessarily understand sales. So the service that we provide allows them to outsource that to us on a part-time basis, sometimes on a full-time basis, and we can help them take their sales organization to the next level.
And it's you get into business so many times, you get in because you have an expertise, you see that there's this opportunity in the market, and you know how to do something that has a lot of value, but you may not be good at hiring salespeople, motivating them, creating a compensation program that gets them out of the office and onto the road, and treats them fairly for their skill, whereas with a company like yours, you've got that expertise. You can outsource that function to you so that I can be good at what I do and you be good at what you do, and I'm successful.
Absolutely. And then our primary business model is what we call a sales sounding board. And really the way that came about is that I can tell you from my personal experience, there were times that I wish that I had somebody from outside of my company or somebody from outside of my circle of friends or business associates that I could just pick up the phone and run something by. It's not that I didn't trust my sales management or my sales leadership, but sometimes people have their own agendas and you don't know if they really have the expertise or credibility to coach or mentor you in the right way. So I came up with what I call a sales sounding board, and basically the way that it works, there's two components to it. One is a business professional, in this case a small business owner, a VP of sales, would hire us on retainer for 1 year. And they would have access to us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Anytime they want to pick up the phone and call us and say, hey, I'm having trouble hiring good salespeople. I want to change my compensation program. I want to talk about territory management. I want to talk about our sales process. I want to run this issue by you. They've paid for it, and they have it on retainer. They have us on retainer. And the value is that it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Anytime they want to pick up the phone to call us or send us an email or text message, we're right there.
Well, and you can get some more information about that service at www.thesalesadvisoryboard.com. And if you've got a pen, let me go ahead and spell that out for you. It's www.thesalesadvisoryboard.com. Now, Tom, in our next segment, we have quite a few questions that listeners have emailed me or posted a comment on the blog. Do you mind hanging on and helping me answer those listener questions?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. So stay tuned. We've got several different questions from across the country about sales training, generating more customers. And I'll be right back with my guest, Tom Mangini, from thesalesadvisoryboard.com in just a moment.
Attention business owners, entrepreneurs, sales professionals, and anyone who wants to get more accomplished. Have you heard about the new DVD sensation that everybody is talking about called The Phenomenon? Question, was 2007 the breakthrough year you wanted? And if not, what goals would you set? What accomplishments would you seek? What income and status would you want if you knew it could be yours in just the next 12 months? In this most unusual DVD created by legendary marketing guru Dan Kennedy, you'll meet 23 people and hear directly from them about the exact changes they took to trigger the phenomenon in their lives. Best of all, the secret is not about thoughts. It is about what to do and exactly how to do it. To preview the Phenomenon DVD, go to AchieveMoreProfit.com. So what accomplishments would you seek? What income and status would you set if you knew it could be yours in just 12 months? Amaze yourself and everyone around you. To preview the Phenomenon, go to AchieveMoreProfit.com.
Welcome back on Business Profits Radio. We're talking about sales. The most important thing you can do in your business is generate more customers. And we've had several listeners from across the country post questions, and I saved them for today's episode. That's all about sales. My guest expert today helping me out with these questions is Tom Mangini. Welcome back, Tom.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
And if you want some more information about Tom's sales advisory service, you can go to thesalesadvisoryboard.com. Tom works with business owners to help them outsource their sales management to him, and also acts as a sounding board. So if you need help, you need advice, you've got Tom, you can call at thesalesadvisoryboard.com. Now, Tom, our first question comes from Hunter Williams in Birmingham, Alabama. Hunter writes, I had a great meeting with a big prospective new customer, but then he missed our follow-up appointment and now won't return my calls. What should I do? Is this something that you face frequently, or the folks that you work with face?
Absolutely, and it's something that I personally have faced over the years, so I can feel the pain. What I would say to Hunter at this point would be to, I think what happens is you sometimes can leave one too many voicemail messages or one too many email communications to the point where you where the prospect might see you as annoying. And what I would recommend is to take a step back. Maybe use a phone where you have a private number or block number so that they can't see that it's you calling in and purposely avoid the call. And what I would say to Hunter is to continually dial until you get the person on the phone and you can actually have a conversation with them. Mm-hmm. Because at this point, you've left probably too many voicemails, you've sent too many emails, and selling doesn't happen until you actually have a conversation. So I would say, see if you can find a private number or block number so they can't see you calling. Keep calling until you get the person on the phone, and then you can have the conversation, the follow-up conversation that you need to have with that prospect.
And that's a great advice, and I really think that that's a smart choice. One of the things that I've also done in that situation is have a follow-up sequence where I'll send them. I remember an old sales training story from years ago, where somebody was trying to follow up with a prospect, and what he did is every day he took his business card, put it in an envelope, and mailed it to the prospect. So every day in this guy's mail, he got another business card from this guy. And this thing went on for like 8 months. And finally, the prospect picked up the phone and called him, and, "You need to get in here." And he bought. But, you know, that, you know, I try to be a little more imaginative than send my business card every day. But,
right.
You know, taking articles from the industry, taking, you know, articles where you saw that prospect featured, articles that feature you, things that are just going on, maybe even news stories about how employment is up, or, you know, I try to make it as a positive story as possible. But you know, those types of things are help you make sure that you're on the consciousness of that prospect and you're in a positive light. Also, it takes you away from being this desperate salesperson hunting this person down into more of a, hey, I'm here to help you. I'm providing you with information. I'm providing you with resources. I think it really transitions the relationship a little bit.
Absolutely. And I think the other part to add to that is that, as in life, this is definitely true in sales, actions speak louder than words, and there may be a reason why they're not calling you back.
Mm.
Sometimes it doesn't mean that they're not interested in what you're selling. It's just that the timing isn't right. So I think, to your point, persistence pays off. You just have to be creative in how you do it.
That's great. Great. I'm your host, Robert Scrobe, with Business Profits Radio. My guest today is Tom Mangini from the SalesAdvisoryBoard.com, and we're answering listener questions. If you have a question you'd like to ask, you go to my blog at robertscrobe.com. If you want access to sales leadership training materials, or you want more information about the Sales Advisory Board's information and tools and strategies that you can use to outsource your sales management function, go to the salesadvisoryboard.com. Now, Tom, our next question comes from Stuart Brown in Sacramento, California.
Stuart, my neck of the woods.
All right. Stuart writes, "My customers are plumbers. Most of them own their own business, and it's challenging trying to explain how I can help them. How do you explain business benefits to a plumber?"
Well, I think plumbers, like anybody else, Robert, and Stuart, I would have you focus on what's in it for them.
Mm-hmm.
I think whether you're a plumber, a baker, a butcher, whatever you do, you're usually in business to make money. And I think the common denominator between everybody that's in business is return on investment.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get in front of a plumber and show them, in many respects, quantify how whatever it is you're selling is going to make them more money, they understand money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to focus on quantifying return on investment, and that would be my best recommendation.
And in fact, actually, you were Tom, I know a lot of your experience was with Jevity Human Resources, and I actually knew one of the CEOs of Jevity back when it was called Staff Leasing, and his name was Richard Goldman. And Richard at the time told me, he's like, you know, we're selling to these business owners. And this is Richard was one of the first people that I ever heard this from. And he's like, you know, these business owners, many of them, you know, are in business because they couldn't get along with anybody back at their job. And a lot of them are antisocial and they're not necessarily good at business. But here we are, we're trying to show up and we're trying to teach these business owners not only how we could help them, but how they can run their own business. And so very often when you're selling to business owners, you got to understand that, you know, many of them are good at business, but many others are in business just because they couldn't get along with their boss. Certainly none of the listeners here, certainly myself excluded. but I think that also you got to recognize that just because they own a business, they're not as sophisticated as you would expect them to be.
And then they often find, too, that now they're working 80 hours a week for themselves, so they don't have to work 40 hours a week for somebody else.
Yeah, some I spoke at Florida State University last week, and one of the things I asked the group, there was a class of business school students, and it's like, yeah, are you tired of working for the man? You ready to be the man? And, one of the things that Dan Kennedy always says is, you know, the good news is you now work for yourself, but the bad news is your boss is an idiot. And I think that's what I see a lot of in business is you leave so that you can be the man, and you find out that the man you are was a lot worse than the man you were working for. So we're talking today with Tom Mangini. He is from the salesadvisoryboard.com, and we're taking your questions. If you have a question for us, feel free to go to my blog, comment on one of the posts at robertscrobe.com, and you can find out more information about the Sales Advisory Board at www.thesalesadvisoryboard.com. Our next question comes from Preston Hasselback in Boston, Massachusetts. Preston writes, I've got 5 salespeople and they are down every week. I've got to get them excited every week or else they sit around the office and complain. When they sell, they're good, but I've got to constantly motivate them. You know, do you have any advice, Tom, for getting salespeople motivated? Is motivation an ongoing process or something that you can do once and kind of set it and forget it?
Well, my philosophy on motivation is that you as an individual or in a sales management role can't necessarily motivate someone. What you can do is help them find the motivation from within and manage them based on what you've learned about them and what motivates them, because each person's different. And I think sometimes we as sales managers try and manage everyone the same, and often we overlook the fact that each individual is wired differently, mm-hmm. and it takes something different to help find that motivation. In the short term, I think, you know, you can come up with some creative sales contests to get things going. But ultimately, my philosophy has always been that salespeople, good salespeople, are motivated by the commission opportunity they have each and every day to earn. And if they're not motivated each and every day by that commission opportunity, there's a good chance you may not have the right person in the position. Mm. Salespeople, good salespeople, are self-motivated. And all you have to do is find out what they need from you to be successful, and then get out of the way and let them do their thing. And so in my experience, usually that's a sign that you may not have the right person in the position if you're constantly having to get on them to do their job.
Well, that's a great point, and certainly it goes to what we were talking about before is figuring out who the right person is and how to evaluate that before you hire them, because it's often very challenging. And I think as a business owner, you got to be, you know, it's a lot more difficult to fire somebody than it is to hire them. And you just really got to do your due diligence before you make that hiring decision, and not do it out of desperation just because you need warm bodies around.
Yeah, there's you look at the opportunity cost of hiring someone, and then 6 months later you realize that you didn't make a good hire. Now you have to start all over again, and the opportunity cost involved with having to do that can be detrimental to your bottom line profitability.
Well, Tom, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for being my guest today and helping me out with all these listener questions.
I enjoyed it, Robert.
All right. If you'd like some more information about Tom Mangini's services to outsource your sales function, sales management function, or just to have somebody to bounce ideas off of and get advice from an expert in sales management, visit his website. It's at www.thesalesadvisoryboard.com. And I'll be right back with your profitable business truth right after this brief message.
Would you like to become a guru? Have you ever wanted to publish home study courses, audio programs, or franchise your business? It's a lot easier than you'd think. As a matter of fact, Robert Scrobe, the host of Business Profits Radio, teamed up with Entrepreneur Magazine to publish a book outlining how you can create your own information products. Receive a free online video outlining 5 information products and see how easy it is to create your own. Visit GuruQuick.com. You too can become a published author, create your own home study products, and become a guru. It's easy and only takes a few short weeks. Check out the free training video at GuruQuick.com. That's www.guruquick.com.
Throughout my years in business, I have identified 16 essential truths business owners must follow to break free and build a lifestyle that gives them income, wealth, and the freedom to enjoy it. I'm Robert Scrobe, and as your host on Business Profits Radio, I bring you one of these truths each week. And you know, this one is a challenging one. I think it's actually be good for you to hear this truth after our conversations with Tom Mangini today, because there's going to be a lot of things that you're going to want to learn and a lot of new things that you're going to want to apply. And so I think it's an excellent profitable business truth. Just so happens that it came up today, but this is a great truth for us to review. A couple of years ago, my daughter had to learn how to do times tables in school. And as she did these times tables, she had to be able to go through a set of 100 math facts times tables and get those done within 5 minutes. You know, 100 of them in 5 minutes, it seems like a lot even for me. And what happened is, you know, she came home with the sheet. And, you know, the teacher said, all right, well, you know, this is what we're going to need for you to do. And you just need to practice and get these things done. Well, I can tell you, the first time she went through and tried to do this, it took 40 minutes. She did the first like one or two, and then all of a sudden she stopped and she's just like, oh, I can't do this. I hate it. I'm not cut out for times tables. This isn't what I want to do. I'm not going to learn it. I hate this. And then we'd, you know, kind of encourage her, get her going, and, you know, maybe she'd do another one, and then she would figure out it was wrong and she'd erase it and, you know, erase a hole in her paper. She was rubbing on it so hard. And finally, you know, we'd get her to work through a couple more, and she was crying. And, you know, after about 20 minutes of this, we're trying to explain, look, if you just get it done, you won't have to torture yourself anymore. You can just be done. Just do a couple. You know, we'd work with her and try to help her get her through it. And it was unbelievably difficult, challenging. She hated it. But finally, after 40 minutes, she had done all 100, and it was over until the next day. You know, the next day she comes home all happy from school and then realizes, oh no, I got to practice the times tables again. And this time it wasn't quite so bad, but it still took 25 minutes of crying, of tears, of frustration, of pain. I don't want to do this. I hate school. I hate you. I hate all of this. I don't want anything to do with it. Ah! And then the next day, she got it done in about 15 minutes. And we went through about a 2-week period where we weren't crying or anything, but, you know, it took a good 10 to 12 minutes to get through the times tables. And within about 2-3 weeks, probably about 3 weeks, she was able to get it done within 5 minutes and actually going to get it done in just under 4 minutes. So it's really become very easy for her. She just goes through, she can do them backwards, she can do them forwards, she can do them from right to left or left to right. It doesn't matter. She sees them, she knows them, she can do them without really thinking about it. And that is the essence of learning. And so many times as adults, we look at a new thing or a new project or a new way of doing something, and we just think, oh, this is so hard. I don't want to do it anymore. I mean, heck, I go through it all the time. I sit down and I got to write a sales letter, or I got to write an article, or even create a radio program. And I think, oh man, how am I going to do this? you know, how, I don't have anything to say. I don't want to say something dumb and people think I'm an idiot. How am I going to make this happen? And finally, I just start. All right, what was it? What, you know, and I'll go through it. And for the sales letter, I'm like, okay, what is it that I'm going to offer? What are the benefits that I'm going to give somebody? You know, what is it that they're going to benefit from when they start using this? And how is this going to help their life? And I just kind of go through some of those questions. And I remember it, before I knew those questions to ask myself, it would take me hours and it would be so painful. And I hated the process. Now, it's really not that difficult. But that is the essence of learning. And as you create these new sales systems and as you do these, implement these sales training techniques, it's going to be frustrating. It's going to be hard. Maybe you'll even feel like crying. I understand. Believe me, I know. I mean, I own my own businesses. I know what it's like. And believe me, oh, there's a lot of days I feel like just sitting around and crying. Because it's such a pain. It's so challenging. It's so frustrating. But that is success. When you are experiencing that frustration, you are on the road to learning. You're on the road to growing. And know that if you work through this frustration, that as you move through it, you're going to feel a lot better on the other side. And you're going to have new skills that you didn't have before, and you're going to be that much more successful. So, you know, as you know, when you're an employee, a lot of times you can, you know, reach out to somebody else and they can do the job, or, you know, there can be another business owner or a new vendor comes along. But as a business owner, very often you just got to fight through that frustration yourself because there's nobody to delegate it to. There's nobody to give the task to. You just have to fight through the frustration, learn those skills, because the first time you do something, it's going to be difficult. The second time, it's going to be difficult, but not quite as bad. And then you're going to go through a period where it's a challenge, but you can make it happen. And then afterwards, you know, it's boom, boom, boom. You don't even have to think about it. It happens and you're on autopilot, and it's like doing the times tables in 4 minutes instead of 40 minutes. So that's the essence of learning. And anytime you try something new, it's going to be difficult. And as you practice, it's going to get easier and easier and easier. I promise. And so as you approach the things that we talked with Tom Mangini today about, you approach these new sales tactics as you're implementing a program for your team. If you've got salespeople that you're working with, you've got to recognize that they're going to be going through this process, and you need to help them through when they get frustrated. You need to teach them that they are that the frustration is a good thing. And while every fiber of their body is telling them to stop, they need to push through it and keep going, because on the other side is confidence, success, and the money that comes from learning a new skill. Because otherwise, it's just stagnation. We're going to talk a lot about some unintended consequences of actions in the next segment. And I think it's going to be really interesting. If you don't want to be political, then this would be a good time to tune out of the program. But if you want to hear the real truth and some thoughts about some unintended consequences that we are creating for ourselves that are going to make it a lot more difficult for business, stay tuned after this.
Attention business owners, entrepreneurs, sales professionals, and anyone who wants to get more accomplished. Have you heard about the new DVD sensation that everybody is talking about called The Phenomenon? Question: was 2007 the breakthrough year you wanted? And if not, what goals would you set? What accomplishments would you seek? What income and status would you want if you knew it could be yours in just the next 12 months? In this most unusual DVD created by legendary marketing guru Dan Kennedy, you'll meet 23 people and hear directly from them about the exact changes they took to trigger the phenomenon in their lives. Best of all, the secret is not about thoughts. It is about what to do and exactly how to do it. To preview the Phenomenon DVD, go to AchieveMoreProfit.com. So what accomplishments would you seek? What income and status would you set if you knew it could be yours in just 12 months? Amaze yourself and everyone around you. To preview the Phenomenon, go to AchieveMoreProfit.com.
Our government has the best of intentions. They are trying to protect They are trying to preserve. They are trying to maintain order. And in the process, they create a lot of laws and a lot of new programs without having any thought about the consequences of those programs. I'm Robert Scrobe, and as your host of Business Profits Radio today, we're going to talk about that kind of thing and what you as a business owner are going to have to do in light of these new developments. I got to tell you, the Cash for Clunkers program is a great example. Certainly, the federal government is heralding the Cash for Clunkers as this great success that they had all of these new cars go through and get purchased, and that they've updated the fleet. And, you know, part of me is kind of glad that, you know, we've gotten, you know, fewer gas guzzlers on the road, and we've got more energy efficient cars on the road. And so maybe as a nation, we'll be using less fuel, and we will, we'll be able to grow. Well, but then the other side of me sees the reality of that. Part of the Cash for Clunkers program required the new car dealers to destroy the cars that were traded in as part of the Cash for Clunkers. So now you have all of these auto repair shops, tire stores, parts retailers, parts wholesalers, all of this entire aftermarket industry who's had thousands of cars taken out of circulation. It'd been one thing had they been traded in for new, and then those cars could go back on the used car lot, because then the cars, you'd be able to get some value out of them. They would be back in circulation. And also, all those new car dealers, very often when they get a trade-in, they're able to buy the trade-in from the person who they're selling the new car to, and then they can put that trade-in out on their lot. And they get whatever little profit they get from the new car sale, and then they get profit from selling the car of the person who traded it in. And so they get kind of a double side to that. And with the being forced to destroy all the cars, they're not able to get that profit. So while on the surface it appears that the thing was a huge success, there was all these unintended consequences. There's thousands of people across our country who depend on fixing and repairing and replacing tires on cars in order to for a living. And then there's all these new car dealers who depend on being able to sell used cars to make up their short margins that they have to give up on new cars because of the competitive environment. So it's really not nearly as successful as it seems. And also, you didn't even consider this, all of these people who bought these new cars, most all of them have payments. And so now, where they didn't have a payment on their other car, they got a payment on this new car because they just turned in a paid off clunker for a brand new car with a payment book. And so they aren't going to be buying new stereos and books and audio programs, and they're not going to be going out as much. And so this has a huge ramification on our economy, none of which is contemplated or even considered. And what it's going to do for business is, as government creates healthcare and as government creates a cap and trade, there's going to be thousands of unintended consequences. The only way for you as a business owner to fight back is to become good at what we talked about today, and that is generating new customers for your business. Generating new customers is the only skill that beats the recession, that fights back through bad times and allows you to thrive in unprosperous times. Become prosper. Learn the stuff that we talked about today, not just how to sell, but how to motivate salespeople, how to get them to sell for you, and how you can grow a business beyond what your personal ability to generate sales can deliver. Those are the skills that will make you rich in a tough economy. Those are the skills that are going to help you grow in any business endeavor that you choose to create. Coming up next week on Business Profits Radio, we have new strategies for coping with recession. I know business was hard before the recession, and it's more difficult today. Next week on Business Profits Radio, we're going to talk about how you can thrive in any type of economy. Talk a little bit about it today, but we're going to talk more next week on Business Profits Radio. Until then, I'm your host, Robert Scrobe, for Business Profits Radio.
Business Profits Radio is produced by Corey Scrobe in conjunction with WebTalkRadio.net. Your host is Robert Scrobe. You can learn more about Robert from his blog at www.robertscrobe.com. Business Profits Radio is dedicated to helping business owners make more money and go home earlier to spend more time with their families. To be notified immediately when new shows are posted, visit www.businessprofitsradio.com. For guest application or advertising details, you can visit us on the web at www.businessprofitsradio.com. Although Business Profits Radio believes the content is accurate, complete, and current, the host, guests, and show producers make no warranty as to the accuracy, completeness, or currency of the content. It is your responsibility to verify any information before relying on it. None of the information provided on this show should be construed as legal advice, nor is anyone associated with Business Profits Radio engaged in the practice of law. If you need legal advice, please seek the advice of an independent legal counsel. This show is copyright protected by Business Profits Radio, Inc., 2008. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Business Profits Radio.